I just want to read beginning in verse number 8 down through the end of the chapter in Psalm 32. If you're able and willing, I'll invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord. Psalm 32 and beginning in verse number 8. The word of the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Some of you were here 10, 12, 13 years ago or so when I preached on that phrase. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing with us as we read the word of the Lord. I want to preach, if God will help me for a few moments tonight, on the forgiven man walks in the guidance of the Lord. The forgiven man walks in the guidance of the Lord. Our text verse in verse number 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, we have a promise, a gracious promise of guidance that is given unto us. And it's given specifically to the person whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's the setting in verse number 1. Blessed is that man, happy is the man. Living a happy life is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. This man, this forgiven man, walks in the guidance of the Lord. That is, he has someone to lead the way for him. A guide is a leader, someone to chart the course, someone to manage and direct the journey from grace to glory. We mentioned in the very beginning of this study on walking with God, I think it may have been in our days when we talked about, Joseph walking with the Lord, that we mentioned that, you know, it was when we talked about Enoch walking the Lord. Enoch, God didn't walk with Enoch, but Enoch walked with God. And the Lord is not going to go your path. He's not going to get on your program. He's not going to choose your way and go the way you want. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to walk with Him. He will decide the direction. He will decide the destination. He will decide the duration or the pace that you travel. It all is going to be up to Him. He is our guide. He said, I'll show you the way to go in the way that thou shalt go. And He said, I will guide thee with mine eye. He sees what we don't see. He's watching out for us. His eyes are always on the righteous. Matter of fact, chapter 34 is where He will tell us those things, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And we have that promise that He's watching out for us. This guidance is available for all those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Here you are tonight. If you're saved, it is available unto you that God would guide your way. It is one of the great benefits of being a child of God, that we don't have to figure life out by ourselves. This old world's trying to figure it out alone. They look at life like a Rubik's Cube, and I know that John Michael and Alex can actually make them work, but I just take the stickers off and put them back on the other side. I mean, I don't know how to solve that puzzle, and it aggravates me to play with a thing and make it go back and forth to try to do it. It's a pest. I want to get a hammer and just beat it all to pieces and then put it back together again. And sometimes I feel the same way with life. It's a puzzle. It is an enigma. It is confusing. But I have a guide. I have someone who's been this way before. I have someone who's traveled this way. And He knows where He is, and He knows where I need to be, and He knows how to get me to where I'm going. And Jesus said unto them, said, Thomas, whither I go you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise God that we have God. The life of a true believer is so blessed to be guided by God. How gracious of our God not to lose sight of his children. I think about Genesis 16 and 13, one of the verses that my children had to learn in the school as they were learning their ABCs. Thou God seest me. Some of you that went through a Becca, remember that. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. C, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When you get down to T, thou God seest me. And he does. He sees us. He knows where we are. He knows our frame. We need this promised guidance. Amen. Our prayer must be like the hymn writer. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I need the guidance of the Lord. I cannot make this way alone. I cannot make it by myself, but I don't have to. The forgiven man walks in the guidance of the Lord. So let me share four little things with you tonight, and maybe then a few things about those four things in this little message, and we'll be done. And notice in verse number 8, the path that we are to take. He said, I will instruct thee and to teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I'm thankful that he said it exactly as he did. Every word of this Bible is inspired and infallible and from the Lord. Not only is the word of God inspired, but the words of God are inspired. And I believe, Brother Eddie, not only the words, but the letters are inspired. I mean, there's not anything in this Bible that should not be. And when he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way, not the ways that thou shalt go, or in the way, or the ways, he could have said, that you can go. But instead he says, I'm going to tell you the way that you shall go. That is, there is one way. God has set a course for your life. There is one way for you to live your life that's really going to be pleasing unto the Lord. There's a lot of ways you can do things. There's a lot of ways you can conduct yourself. But there is a way that God has established for your life. Brother Milby calls it your God course. That is the planned course that God has for your life. Now you can deviate to the right or the left. You can choose a different path. You can go somewhere and some way that is not pleasing unto God. But the Lord has a course that has been established that he wants you and me to take. And it is that path that we are to take. I'll instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This path is a path that is designed by God. The blueprint is his. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The path is prepared by God, and it's the perfect plan for our lives. It's a new road for the now redeemed. Everybody who has been saved is on a new path. It's a new road for the now redeemed. And if God has saved you, you'd be very foolish to travel down that same old dusty, dirty road you lived on before you ever got saved. We sing that song, for a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin, I sank low. But then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out by his saving power. And now I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. And that is right. But not only did the Lord save me from these things, but he saved me unto some things. The Lord didn't just take us out of the way of unrighteousness, but put us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though walk through the valley of the shadow of death, every step you take won't be easy. But he said, in those times thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The same God who redeemed us
has also designed a path for our lives. Hey, you don't have to worry about now that I'm saved, and some of you young people are getting up to the age where you're looking at possibly becoming, going into school and maybe setting up a career, and some of us old folks is looking at some of those things, trying to figure out what to do with things, and they don't think there ever comes really a day where you totally get settled, and as soon as what you do, everything around you changes, and then you have to change, and the only thing that's really consistent, it seems, in this world is that things are always changing, and that you're trying to make decisions and choices and adjustments, and to figure out what to do with these things. But can I tell you that the same God who knew what to do when you're on your way to hell and could not help yourself and owed a debt you couldn't pay, yes, is the same God that knows what to do whenever you don't know if you need to go to school or go to work. He's the same God that knows what to do when you don't know when to get married or who to get married to, or what to do in your life. The Lord has a plan for your life. Yes. Don't try to do things your way. You'll end up down the wrong road. Yes. Don't be a stubborn and mule-headed. And we're going to get to more of that here in just a minute. But rather hear and heed the word of the Lord. He has a path designed for you. It's designed by God. He knows what you don't. He sees what you don't. He understands what only you can imagine. And he has a path designed, and not only designed by God, but it's designed for you. And he will do what he does for his glory and for your good. Amen. He has designed a path for us. And then not only is this path that we are to take one that is designed by God, but then it is one that is disclosed by God. That is, he didn't just design it and put it on shelf or hide it somewhere. You don't need a secret decoder ring to figure out what it is, or maybe to hire a private investigator to seek it out. The preacher hadn't got to reveal it to you. The Lord will lead you and guide you and teach you and instruct you. He said, I will instruct thee. And the first verse again, notice the audience. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He didn't say, I will instruct the preacher, and I'll instruct the pope, and I'll instruct the priest. He said, I will instruct that man whose sin is forgiven. The saved man, the Lord will give you leadership and guidance. Now, very likely, he's not going to send an airplane by your way with one of those little banners behind it, you know, that says eat at Joe's, or get to 50% off at Culver's if you mention this ad or something like that. He's not likely to send one of those by your way and say, all right, this is what you are to do. Instead, it's likely going to be with the cords of a man and bands of love. It's going to be that wooing power of the Holy Spirit that teaches you how to follow it. And you learn that sensitively. We're going to deal with a horse and a mule here in just a moment. But if you want to really get a horse or a mule or any other animal to follow your instructions, it is not always so that you can just tell them what you want and they know what it is. But they have to learn the feel of the master. And when they learn that he pulls this way, what to do. And when he pulls that way, what to do. When he touches them here. And when he says this. And they learn how to respond. And they learn what it is to gee and to ha. And to halt. And they learn how to follow those instructions. And that doesn't happen day one. That happens with a process. That happens as they are trained. That happens as they are broken. In our lives, it's the same. You don't get saved today and praise God, I know everything I need to know to live a Christian life. But instead, the Lord's teaching us and guiding us, and he's instructing us. And my friend, little by little, and day by day, and moment by moment, and experience by experience, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, he's teaching, and I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And you'll learn, the more you follow the Lord, the more you will learn how to follow the Lord. The more you walk with the Lord, the more you'll learn how to walk with the Lord. Lord, he will disclose these things unto you. And if you are here tonight and maybe hadn't been saved all that long, and maybe you have not been down the road far as what some others have, you look at them and it seems like to you that they just have instinct on how to follow God, and they have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and they just seem to know what the Lord wants in their lives. That's because they do. And that they didn't get that on day one. They got that over the last 30, 40, 50 years of trying to be sensitive to the Lord and following the Lord. And I'm not real good at following him now, but I'm a little better at understanding what he wants from me now than what I was 30 years ago. And I have learned what some of the things he does in my life is trying to teach me. And some of it I've learned the hard way. And my daddy would say, hard heads make sore places. And I've had a lot of sore places in my life because I had to learn things the hard way. But I'm thankful for the Lord teaching me and instructing me. He will show you what he needs from you. The Lord's not trying to hide it from you. I remember just a boy preacher struggling and trying to seek the Lord. And I knew he wanted me to preach, but I didn't know what he wanted me to preach or how to preach or how that he wanted me to preach or how that he wanted to use me. And I'd ask him to show me, and I'd try, and I'd fall flat on my face, and I knew it was horrible. I mean, I knew it was. It is painful to me to look at the people's faces and for them to have to endure. And it's still that way sometimes. But I was struggling, and I wanted to so bad. I mean, I had yielded to God's will for my life, and I wanted to please him, but I didn't know how, and I was wrestling with that thing. I was struggling with it, and I came to realize one day that the Lord wanted this for me more than I wanted it. And if I just yield to him, that he would teach me. And it's not all been easy stuff. It's been a lot of sore knees and a lot of time I spent seeking after the Lord. But praise God. Hallelujah. I may not be much, but I am what God put me on planet Earth to be. And I thank the Lord for that. And I may not preach up to your expectations. I never have met my own, that's for sure. But I am trying to do tonight what the Lord put me here to do. And I'm seeking to please him, and I'm trying to follow him. And God will disclose to you. He will instruct you. He will show you how to live for him if you'll yield yourself to him and be available for instruction. The problem with some of us is we're not pliable. We're not teachable. We're hard to instruct. Amen. We are resistant to instruction. Brother Randy went to school and comes home during the first grade, and he and my daddy was in the first grade together. They had to learn all the president's names and so forth back then. It didn't take long because there hadn't been but one. George Washington's the only president that had back then. And he went to school and come home, and on his first report card, they put on there, Randy Eason is prone or inclined. Randy Eason is inclined to mischief. That's what they put on his first report card. Some of you were easier to instruct than others. Some of you were more receptive and more pliable students than others. Brother Eddie, yesterday my dad and I were talking about your brother. Mother was Michael's teacher at times. And whenever his younger brother was in school, sometimes she would just sit on him and push him as a teacher, trying to get the most out of him, you know. And sometimes he did real well. And then one time he just hadn't done nothing and had gotten lazy and skipped his homework and all that stuff, and she had done all she could do with him. And she told him, she said, I am going to call Jim. He cried and begged and pleaded and said, please don't do that. But she called Jim, and he became the perfect student. He didn't sit down very well, but he became the perfect student instantly. And mother felt so sorry for him. She'd tell him sometimes, Michael, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to have to call Jim. And she would cry. And she'd say, I don't want to call Jim. And he'd say, I don't want you calling Jim. And he would become a better student. God, help us not to have to be pushed and prodded and not to have to receive the rod of correction, but rather to be instructable, to be teachable, to be pliable, to receive well the things that God has designed for us. You see, he reveals it to you one step at a time. Psalms 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If anybody is listening to the choir this morning, that ought to sound familiar. It is a path that we are to take, designed by God and disclosed by God, and that's the only way you'll really learn what this path is for your life.
Amen.
Somebody else can't tell you. It'll have to come from the Lord, the path that we are to take. The forgiven man walks in the guidance of the Lord, the path that we are to take. Number two, there are the plans that we are to follow. You see, our God has given us an inspired guidebook, and my friend, we are to follow that guidebook for instruction. This right here is our guidebook. This is how we learn. This is where we learn how to follow the Lord and how to please God. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given up by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. This book right here teaches us how to live for him. Amen. Thank God. Our God has given us the plans that we are to follow. My dad built bridges for about 40 years. And one of the main reasons, Brother John Michael, when he finished college, he was actually a junior in college. And the recruiter came to school over there at Southern Tech, Kennesaw State, whatever it is now. Back then it was Southern Tech, a Southern Polytechnical Institute, I think is what they called it. Anyway, they came over there looking for a civil engineer major, and he was. And somebody that was interested in doing construction, and he was. And they hired him. He had never built anything but barns and fences and so forth and dog houses. Certainly no bridges and certainly no roads and no retaining walls, nothing that would pass DOT inspection. But he was a junior in college, and they hired him to be the supervisor over their largest crew and put him out there and put him in charge. And you know why they did? One reason only. He was the only man on the job site that knew how to read the plans. He knew how to read the plans, and nobody else did. They knew how to build a bridge, but he knew how to read the instructions. How do you realize what a blessing it is to be able to have a copy of the plans? The road that we're going to travel on, God gave us the plans, and he had not hid it from us. He's disclosed it to us. And what we really, if you really want to go to school, I'm talking about the school of practical knowledge for your life. Go to school and learn how to read the blueprint. I mean, get on your knees before the Lord and spend some time in this book. Get in God's university and let the Lord teach you how to read the plans. And brother, when you learn how to read the plans and study the plans and implement the plans, then you will have a graduate degree. Amen. The Lord will allow you to graduate into how to follow him and live for him and serve him. It is the plan that we are to follow. Oh, he instructs us concerning. Notice what he says. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. He instructs us concerning the way. We must obey his instructions. It involves hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I will instruct thee. This is not the hearing of the ear, but hearing of the inner man. Oh, hearing the word concerning every manner of life. John 10 and 3 says, the sheep hear his voice, and he leadeth them out. And we must say with Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I wonder, would you hear the word of the Lord? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The plans we are to follow involves hearing the word. It involves heeding the word. Far too often we have heard, but we've become hearers only and not doers of the word of God. He said, I will instruct instruct thee. And then the next phrase, I will teach thee in the way. He's not only trying to have us to hear, my friend, but an ear to hear, a heart to understand, and a will to obey. That's what we need. And this listening manifests itself in loyalty. If you listen to the voice of the Lord, and it translates to its natural progression, listening translates to loyalty. That is, if you hear him and if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Amen. I think about Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 39. When she heard, indicates her spiritual attitude toward the great teacher who said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And then when you have heard, be a doer of the word, and not a hearer only. The plans we are to follow involve hearing his word and heeding his word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
My mother, as I told you, would give Brother Eddie's little brother a hard time, but that wasn't the only one she'd give a hard time. My mother was that teacher in school that everybody would want to teach their children when their children were in trouble, because she'd get them straightened out. Whew. Buddy, that meant that she had to give them a hard time. And she would carry a tight ship. I mean, seriously, buddy, she would carry a tight ship. She didn't put up with anything. She was a tyrant. And listen, she literally was born in Nazi Germany. She knows how to be a tyrant. She's 5 foot tall, and buddy, she could be a tyrant in the classroom. And you had to do what you were told. And she would tell us this way. She would say something like this. Did I tell you to do X, whatever it was? Did I tell you to do that? Well, you said, now listen to me, listen to me. You do exactly what I say, not one thing more, not one thing less. Do exactly what I say. Do not add to it. Do not take away from it. Do it exactly the way I say to do it. And buddy, I mean, she meant instructions. Stay with him. No freelancing, no free ranging. I mean, she didn't care about stifling your imagination. I mean, friends, she didn't care about that at all. She was serious about you following instructions exactly. She didn't believe in our creativity being sparked. She believed in you doing what you're told. You learn how to do it the way you're told to do it, and do it exactly that way. And if you don't do it that way, I don't care if it is finished right, you're doing, didn't do it the way I told you to do it. And buddy, she was a serious tyrant about it. Sometimes we try to take far too many liberties with the Lord. How we think we can arrive at the same destination, but travel in a different direction. How we think we can kind of go here, there, and everywhere, do whatever we want to do, and still arrive somehow in the perfect will of God for our lives. And it don't work that way. I mean, we need to hear him and heed him, do what he says, when he says, as he says. And my friend, don't add to it, don't take away from it, but heed the word of the Lord. Amen. Sonia and I were talking this week about some friends of ours that are involved in a church that I'm not familiar with, and I won't say too much about that, but they're involved in some other things that just are a distraction, and they're unproductive. They've got emphasis on a lot of stuff that really just flat out don't matter. And they still want the Lord, and they still want God to bless what they're doing, but they don't really want to do anything that's worthwhile. They want to do all the foolishness. Their emphasis is on things like, a motorcycle gang, or some sort of we're going to all run off, go on a motorcycle ride for Jesus. That's going to make us all full of the Holy Ghost. We're going to run on a motorcycle ride for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Rev the engines. And that's the stupidest bunch of junk I ever heard of in my life. I mean, you won't find one occasion in the Bible where anybody, you say, but they didn't have motorcycles. They didn't have a camel ride for Jesus either. I mean, friend, listen, that is not what you find in the Bible. What you do find in the Bible is people going to God's house and worshiping the Lord and hearing the preaching and singing the songs and praying prayers. And they ate together and and they worshiped together and they fellowshiped together and they gave. And these are the things we ought to focus on, and all these other things are ancillary. I don't care if you ride a motorcycle or a bicycle or a unicycle or a camel, my friend, a horse, doesn't matter to me. And none of those things are sinful. But I'm telling you, that's not going to make you spiritual either. My friend, the focus of our lives must be on Him and not these ancillary things. These other things are not what it's all about. My friend, we have focused far too much on the things that are not connected to hearing and heeding the Word of God, and they have us distracted from the course that God wants us to be on. Amen. The plans we are to follow, the path we are to take. And then there are some perils that we are to avoid. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." Now the two things mentioned in verse 9 are perils that face every child of God. These dangers are denounced that you do at your loss or at the peril of the Father's displeasure. There are two of them. He says that there are some dangers that disfigure our behavior. That is the being like a horse or a mule. If you behave like a foolish animal, that is, you don't have no sense, you just behave on whatever your instinct is in the moment, you do so at your own peril. The horse is problematic because he is impulsive. He's out of control. He is driven by impulse. He acts first and thinks later. He's the guy when you get off into war that hollers, "Ready, fire, aim." And that's a problem, amen. Ready, fire, aim. Some of y'all have to think about that a couple of minutes, figure out why it's a problem. I mean, friend, he's a fella that'll get you in trouble. He's acting on impulse. He jumps the gun. This describes Peter before Pentecost. I mean, he acts first, thinks later. Acts first, regrets it later. Talks first. Gets a mouth in the way, is running off at the mouth, and then regrets it after the fact. And if you behave like the horse, you'll have times that you will regret it. If you say things you haven't thought through, you hurt somebody, you say things that you wish you could take back, you do things that you wish you could undo. My friend, you go places you wish you could ungo. But there is no way to take all of those things back. My friend, hard heads make sore places, and that impulse behavior will show up on you, and it'll hurt you and the people you care about somewhere on down the road. The horse is impulsive. And you know how one of the ways you control a horse? You put a bit and a bridle in his mouth. That is, you put something in him that stops him from running his mouth when he wants to and going where he wants to. And then whenever he doesn't behave, you pull on it one way or the other, and you make him uncomfortable until he does what he is instructed by the master to do. Your Lord knows what's uncomfortable to you. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to show you who's the boss. Amen. When I was a boy, my granddaddy'd tell me, "Now, son, don't you ever let an animal think they're the boss." He said, "I don't care how big they are and how small you are. You always let them know you're the boss." And I took him for what he said. I have never been afraid of animals. I don't care how big they are. Well, I never have raised any elephants. I might be afraid of them. I do get nervous if I get to have the bull in a real tight spot, but it's because they're fences are not real good. I'm not really afraid of him, but I do want to keep from having to rebuild a fence. And so I kind of try to guide him and talk nice to him instead of trying to beat him into submission. But I want him to know who the boss is. He'd tell me and say, "Now if that animal doesn't act right, grab him by the bridle, pull on him. You tell him who the boss is." And I mean, friend, you got to take control. I'd say, "Don't that hurt him?" He said, "Yeah, it hurts him." That keeps him from acting up. I said, "Is Is there not some other way to deal with him? He said, well, if he spoke English, there would be. But since he don't, you got to show him who's the boss. And at ours, sometimes we're so foolish, we behave so impulsively, how we think first and or we act first and think later. And God has to put on the reins. God has to put on the bit and bridle in our mouth. God has to pull us to a place where we're under control and brings our impulse into line. Be ye not as a horse or as the mule. The horse is impulsive, but the mule is inflexible. He's stubborn. He soils up. He decides he ain't doing nothing, no matter how bad you want him to. He might have even done it if he didn't think you wanted him to do it, but since you want him to do it, he ain't doing it no more. He soils up and refuses. That heifer calf yesterday, my wife told my daddy, says she's acting like a donkey. Standing off in the woods, she won't do anything we ask her to do or tell her to do. All we want to do is get her to stick her head in a feed bucket and eat sweet feed, and she won't even do that. She's acting like a donkey. 4 hours in that hottest part of the day, we wrestle with that one calf. Pasture, yard, road, everything. In the woods, she went off and hid in the edge of the woods like a white-faced, black white-faced heifer can hide in the woods. That black can, but buddy, that white face shines like a flashlight down there in the shade. And she thinks she's hidden. And I went up set up under the shade of the carport. And as Daddy drove that other calf out of the pasture, put her on the trailer, drove her off, and then I sat there. And he literally hadn't made it up to the paved road, Brother John, till that white-faced heifer was coming up out of the woods and headed right into that pasture. Exactly where we wanted to go the whole time. She could have been there 4 hours ago and we could have been drinking sweet tea on the porch. But she was inflexible. She was stubborn. And she by then was worn slam out, and so were we. If you do the Lord that way, if you stick up your neck and you get stiff-necked and you kick against the prince, you'll wear yourself out and you'll wear other people out and you make life too hard on everybody around you. And the Lord had to put a bit and a bridle in your mouth, get control of you. Some of you just want to jump every time a horse fly lands on you. You want to jump impulsive like the horse. Some of you wouldn't move no matter what. If you had a hot stick put on you, you still wouldn't move. You just refuse to do anything. And either way is problematic. We need to go when God says go, stop when God says stop, obey him, go right when he says right, left when he says left. And my friend, the cause of such misunderstandings of being either impulsive or inflexible, stubborn and unreasonable, is a lack of understanding. Had that heifer calf just known what I wanted her to do, she would have done it. But I could not seem to explain it to her. And we let her loose twice. We got her up and then let her loose. My daddy was manning the gate. And twice he let that heifer calf back over the gate. No wonder she was confused. What she wanted to do, my friend, was to get on the trailer. That's what we wanted her to do. But when she backed into the gate was not supposed to move, but the gate turned over and she backed over the gate twice because the one who was supposed to be holding the gate was somehow distracted and somehow otherwise minded, and so he didn't man his post. And twice she got out, and the third time she said, I'm not coming back. I don't know what you want me to do, and I'm tired of running from all of you. And she wouldn't get in the pasture until everybody just went home. It's because of a lack of understanding. The reason why many times we won't do what the Lord wants us to do is because we just don't understand. And we make it hard on him. And we rebel and we get stubborn. Or we jump forward and get ahead of him. My friend, God, help us to have the knowledge of God in us to lead us to a godly behavior. Stay away from those dangers that disfigure our behavior. And then there is a discipline for disfigured behavior. What you do, how you fix that, is a bit and a bridle. This is equipment for uncontrolled creatures. God uses means to bring his child to the behavior desired. Hebrews 12 talks about it. If you can sin and get by,
you can go without punishment, you can go without discipline, then you're not his child. The Lord, if you are his, he will chasten you. He will whip you. Amen. And no chastening for the moment is filled with pleasure. I mean, listen, I'm 47 years old. I am so thankful that I had a mom and a daddy that disciplined us. I'm grateful that my mom was a little Nazi and that my daddy is hard-headed. And if I hadn't had all of that, there's no telling the kind of person I could be today had I not had that kind of discipline at home. And my daddy would whoop us till the smoke alarm went off. He had no mercy on us. And I thank the Lord for that. But not one time, Brother Eddie, did my daddy give me a whipping. Growing up in a good household, knowing that he loved me, knowing that he wanted what was best for me. Not one time did my daddy give me a whipping, had me jump up and down and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I am so glad that I have a spirit-filled father who loves me enough to give me a Holy Ghost spanking when I need it. Not one single time. In the moment, there was no pleasure in it. But now when I look back in hindsight, I'm thankful for direction. I'm thankful for our discipline. I'm thankful for that control that was put on my life. And we don't enjoy when God whips us. We don't enjoy when God disciplines us. But I'm thankful he does not just let me do whatever I want to and leave me under my own way. Yes. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
The perils we already avoid. Now I'm finishing with this. Number four, path we are to take, plans to follow, perils to avoid, the provisions we are to enjoy in verses 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We are, in verse number 10, surrounded by mercy. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to be compassed about with the pity and the love of God. We are transgressors, prone to error. But blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The forgiven man is surrounded by mercy. If I got justice, I'd surely be lost. But he gave me mercy when I nailed at the cross. How wonderful it is to be compassed about with the mercy of the Lord. We are transgressors and prone to err. So mercy is a necessity. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. This text assures us that if we trust in the Lord, mercy shall be ours. Our enemies may beset us on every side, but mercy shall surround us. God's goodness assures of us of absolute safety on the journey of life from grace to glory. Amen. And he will follow us all the days of our life, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad his mercy endureth forever. We are surrounded by God's mercy. Then verse 11, not only are we surrounded by God's mercy, but verse 11, those of us who have the promise of forgiveness, we are shouters of joy. In verse 11, he said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. If the Lord's forgiven your sin, if you have the privilege of living for God, my friend, you ought to rejoice in that. I mean, I think about that fellow in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Here he was, owed so much money. If he had 150 clones, I mean, if he cloned himself 150 times, they would never make enough money to pay back what he owed. But the master frankly forgave it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, hey, if you know what it is to be forgiven for it all, if you know what it is for your sins to be taken away, for your iniquities to be taken away, how blessed is the man who had the Lord imputeth not his iniquity. He hath not dealt with us according to the abundance of our iniquities. If he did, we'd be in trouble. But praise God, he's dealt with us according to the abundance of his mercy. And now we are surrounded by mercy and shouters of joy. And without, we are surrounded by mercy. Within, we are singing for joy. The rejoicing is for the righteous and upright. It's been provided by the Spirit of God. And since we belong to the Lord, he guides
guides us, he guards us, and he gladdens us in this journey. And I am not only on my way to heaven, I am happy that I am. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I praise the Lord that I'm his, and I wouldn't trade places with anybody anywhere. I used to say that I wouldn't trade places with Bill Gates. And I don't know if he's still the richest man in the world or not. I don't think so. But if he was, I still wouldn't trade places with him. He's a nut. I don't know if y'all know that or not. He's crazy. I would not trade places with him. But I wouldn't trade places with whoever is the richest man in the world. I wouldn't trade places. I'm going to tell you something else. The ones I have confidence in their spirituality, the ones I have confidence in their walk, I wouldn't trade places with them because I don't really know their hearts. But I know what the Lord's done for me. Fact of the matter is, I'm not trying to be difficult with anybody. Now, fact of the matter is, I don't know if any of y'all are saved or not. I mean, I got confidence in some of you. I believe you are. If somebody was to ask me, I'd say, well, I really believe they are. I expect to see them in heaven. Brother Eddie, I want to stroll over heaven with you, and I believe I'm going to. But fact of the matter is, I don't really know if you're saved or not. I don't really know if any of you are saved or not. I do know one person, friend. I know what the Lord has done for me. And because of that, not because I'm anything at all, but because I know what the Lord's done for me, I wouldn't trade places with anybody.
Amen.
Shouting for joy. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 23:3. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. Galatians 5:16, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
How about your life? How about your life? Are you walking with the Lord according to his direction and in his perfect will for your life? I'm finished preaching. You can come on with a song. I want to simplify. Fellow that I went to church with as a boy, he would get up and preach or testify, usually just sort of off the floor, get up and preach for an hour and 50 minutes, hour and 45 minutes, and until everybody started to go home, and then he'd get mad at everybody and sing on. And I'm not making fun of him. He's already home in heaven. He was a fine man. But he had some nervous problems. And he'd get up and say stuff that didn't make no sense. He'd lose his train of thought. And then after he'd been preaching for almost 2 hours, he'd get mad when folks started to leave. And that's when he quit. And he'd usually, when he finished up, would say something like this: I said all that to say this. And it's just a little boy, the only thing that run through my mind was, well, it looked like you could have said that to start with and saved us these last 2 hours. I'm sorry, that's the only thing I could think of while I was trying to preach this. I've said all that to say this. You won't ever know where God wants you to go in your life if you don't spend time in the roadmap. You're going to live a pointless existence. You ever tried to chase a lizard? Suckers don't make no sense. They go one direction 1 minute. You chase after them, they just turn around and shoot right back between your legs. Makes me mad. There's no sense to them. The only thing the lizard has on his mind is survival in the moment. He's not thinking about any repercussions of his actions. He's not planning. He's just acting. Some of you, that's the way you've lived most of your life. You're just sort of letting the days pass. And you have no purpose. You remember whenever God put the curse on Cain because of him killing Abel? The Bible said he went off from there and he dwelled in the land of Nod. That name Nod means to be aimless, to have no direction. He spent the rest of his life with no purpose because he was cursed. It is a curse to live in this world and have no purpose. to have nothing to live for, have nothing that really matters. Your life needs to be about more than just living for the weekend, more than just making it to Friday and going out to eat and spending a little money and going to the lake and finding some pleasure here or there, recreation or cheering for your favorite team. That ain't enough to fulfill the inward man. You will live your life aimless if you do not spend time in the roadmap. If you really want to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to get with the guide and the guide map. And in this thing, you'll find purpose. And the first few times you look at the map, it may look just like a bunch of squiggly lines on a page. That's what maps are if you don't know what they mean. That's what this is if you don't know what it means. But if you'll study it, and if you'll pray over it, and if you'll soak it in tears, God will give you direction and purpose in life. Brother Wendell, if I'd been as good a student the last, I don't know, 10 or 12 years as what I was the first 10 years I was saved, there's no telling what I'd know out of this book. I mean, when God saved my soul, I got in this thing. I'd never studied nothing that I liked. I always did well in school because I'd do well on tests, but I hated every minute of it. I hated it with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and my neighbors, myself. I hated it. My mother would try to find books for me to read. She'd tell me I had to read this book, do a report on it. I'd read the first 5 pages, the cover on the back, the last 2 or 3 pages, and make up the rest to do a book report with. I hated reading. It's a lot better to be out cutting wood or shooting a gun or something other than instead of having to read a book. I hated reading anything. Lord, save my soul. Here I was, had real good grades, but I was always struggled reading comprehension because I didn't like to read. Somehow or another, something found my attention in this book. And I started reading this thing and couldn't hardly put her down. And I'd lay in the floor all night long. My mother said, it's time about to go to bed. I'll be to bed in just a minute. All right. Many, many, many a night she'd come in there the next morning and say, it's time to go to school. Have you been up all night? Yes, ma'am. I just sort of lost track of time. And I'd still be in the floor of my Bible, seeking after the Lord. Just lost track of time. Something about that book just, I'd never really found anything I was interested in before. But I found something I just couldn't turn loose of. If you'll get in this, you'll find purpose. If you'll get in this, you'll find direction. In the roadmap, praise God. And now I know where I'm going. And I even know how I'm going to get there. I don't know everything that lays between here and there. But I know where I'm going and I know how I'm going to get there. And I praise the Lord for it. And I'm glad I didn't make it to the 2 hours, and I'm not going to say any more than I said all that to say this, and I'm not waiting till folks leave mad to quit. I'm going to quit now. Everybody stand. In your life, are you walking with the guidance of the Lord? Some of you young men and young ladies, so many decisions you got to make at a time in life when you're maybe least equipped to know how to make those decisions. But the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. It's one reason why you need the help of the Lord so badly. You're a fool. You hadn't got sense enough to make the decisions on your own. Neither does any of the rest of us. Some of us have been making decisions a long time. We're not any good at it. We need the help of the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Daniel's asking us in the prayer room to help him pray about some decisions he needs to make. It's not the first decision you ever had to make. But you need the Lord as much this time as what you did the first time you ever had to decide anything. You'll never get to the place where you don't.
Amen.
Rode by the other day on the golf cart over there where Junior's living. I prayed for him when I rode by. Got decisions he has to make just the time of life again. Got decisions you have to make. You make ones that will benefit you or ones that will burden you.
Yes, that's right.
The only way you're going to know which one's which, spend time in the roadmap. My children, I wish I could tell them exactly what they have to do. Matter of fact, I would. given the first opportunity. But I sure would hate to be the one to be blamed for them making all the wrong choices, because I told them what to do and I hadn't gotten a better sense to know what they need to do and what they do.
Amen.
We're going to have to seek the Lord together is what we're going to have to do. If you need to pray, these altars are open. Sing for us when you get ready.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
The forgiven man walks.
Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling.
Do not pass me by. I cannot make this way alone.
Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet release. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help mine merit, would I seek thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace, save.
Satisfied that you don't know.